Well, let's Oberly go ahead with the reading first, then we'll entertain questions.
I speak of these things this day because it will be so that unless you unify with the valid patriot leaders who have intent to reclaim the American Constitution, you will not make this gain of gains toward reclamation of your nation. If you heed that which is foisted off on you by incidents which are then poorly or tainted or simply biased, you will be distracted to the point of losing your way and your newly seeing eyes. God provides the way. You provide the physical doing. Where have all your leaders gone? Nowhere. They are continuing to do that which must be done in the only way they know to serve. They cannot undo anything that lies in their past experiences any more than can you remove your own actions, be they great or totally foolish and often evil. Do you spend your time in pondering them whilst you overlook yourself? So be it. I have response to information we have offered in the Liberator for your perusal of interchanges with Beau Greitz and about Commander Greitz. I have response, but I am saddened that it comes not directly to me, but from answer to Patterson for Patterson's strategies. Commander Greitz is still very angry at God, and he prefers to believe that I, Hatton, do not serve God in order to hold at bay the confrontation of my identity, which he knows he will find to be the real thing, as host of that and with that God. It is a great man who will carefully weigh the possibilities, be it in personal recognition or on behalf of a perceived mission. God has time and infinite patience while his children learn to walk and finally mature into greatness. Why would I share such a personal thing with readers? Because you who know me know that I supported this child of God in every way, to and beyond the moment of fixed election boxes and computer data disks. His time of such service was not at hand and remains with him, and it remains with him as to when and how that service will evolve. I see, however, that he has not jumped ship from you, his compatriots, even if the signs be blurred and confusion laced to you. You of this time of change must move into unity, merge papers, groups, centers for taking action and constitutional law, etc. All of you have suffered from the attack of the establishment against you, and all are but stripped of income and available resources. Blessed are you who have been able to see beyond and put aside the guidance of handmaidens and servants of the establishment in their own grab for perceived security, etc. You have reached out and allowed the continuation of truth. Shall be forever blessed in our Father's courts. So what does Beau say about the nasty documents written against him, and does it not make him less credible for speaking back? No, it comes as well-prepared statement for your consumption, as he efforts to recover from illness and decisions for his next moves. The first thing that must be overcome is the infighting. You who would have served must come to recognize the human element in all lessons, and again turn it unto the tending of the babe, and let the bathwater down the drain with its ego fragments, which only destroy unity. Always there are mammoth decisions to be made in every facet of life when a person responds to the call of God and nation. It is most destructive to the family at hand, as all privacy, energy, and ability for quiet communication is stripped away in a whirlwind of demands and attacks, meetings, and destructive lifestyle. But where will be your leaders? Will they come from nowhere? How will you recognize them? Can one Gonzalez fit all roles as he wearies of the battle carried again almost alone for these many dastardly years of public service? I tell you now that the Liberator will be the beacon of information compiled that you might see and know. I further tell you that the Constitutional Law Center has been established as a clearinghouse and focal point of all such organizations already scattered about. Why? Do they have the wherewithal to afford this? Are they more informed than others out there? No, they are less informed, but willing to bear the load of responsibility for growth and struggling and struggled fighting for the rights of citizens. With entree to the places wherein law of the Constitution can again emerge. Why will they succeed? Because this is where we have chosen to set up the front of God's return. In this chosen land, with you, the chosen children of freedom, I have to remind you, precious lambs of earth, we hold the bigger strings. This in no way diminishes your importance or value, but you do not yet seize in knowing the power of God within each to do his job of reclamation of a kingdom. Evil shall expose itself as you turn into goodness in your path of reclamation. Those who bear the fraud upon their heads for disinformation and misinformation, most especially in the thrust of religious falseness, shall ultimately be the largest to fall, for they have tarnished that which fuels the soul eternal. God too has time for your lessons and your learning, that which is, but you do not. You must, however, seize the moment of truth as presented in ability to serve and reclaim, and then all else can find proper placement right through soul preparation and understanding of truth in light of allness within God, not based upon doctrines of man. But first in your path unto this glory, you must first save the man that he may see. I care not whether one James Greitz thinks me to be a serpent person, slithery viper, or groundhog. I am that which I am, God's host returned, and I do not play into your games of foolish name-calling. I offer forum for both sides in important issues and shall continue to do so, for you readers must discern, and the discernment must be coming from within in your ability of knowing. If you flit like the butterfly or hummingbird from blossom to blossom, never checking the poison from the wondrous nectar, so shall you continue to fail in your journey home. You who feel disappointed and despondent over a man's response in anger are not alone. The personal impact upon my scribe and ones in this location was devastatingly painful on a human and superficial level of affront. But that is unimportant except in the teaching as the plan of God shall unfold in its own perfection. And you are not given into the seeing, for when you have mastered the lessons of this game, you are beyond the need of such lessons. So be it. Norma, just reprint the paper sent. Let us give equal time and space to Colonel Greitz.
I would say that this paper that is in point of discussion here is not the paper that we printed in the Liberator. I, too, was vividly aware of this writer and this article that came out in the New American. I refused to print it. But you ones are going to have to become responsible for your own discernments. And enough has been written now on both sides, on either side, about this to begin to allow a little more clearance now that you get a little farther distant from that fixed election day. I repeat, God's delays are not his denials, but it could very well mean that quite a few need a few more lessons, or else you'll blow the entire mission. Go on, please.
Quoting Four Patterson Strategies by James Bogreitz. It has long been the view of many conservative Americans that the John Birch Society charts the course for our nation's patriot movement. Is there a deeper reality? Could it be that hiding beneath the leaves within the organization, there are those who would absorb resources and utilize the organism to advance an unpublished agenda? For example, the JBS December 14th issue of New American Magazine ran a feature article by Don Fotheringham, a JBS headquarters staff member.
Everybody know what JBS means? Okay.
That is both shameful and fallacious. Fotheringham uses the northern Idaho Weaver family, crushed in late August by 500 militarized police, to plate a pro-Zionist government position. The story's stated concern, entitled Randy Weaver's Role, for an erosion of a conservative Idaho, is a transparent cover for a psychological warfare theme that anyone trained even at the entry level can readily see through. He refers to Jews, anti-Semitism, and other Zionist code words more than two dozen times in the seven-page diatribe, yet fails to even spell correctly the names of any of the three Weaver girls. Obviously, a lot of elbow grease was applied to his real focus, while little went into those he denigrates. In the first paragraph, Fotheringham goes to so far as to link Randall Weaver with a, quote, plot to destroy Idaho. If Fotheringham is an agent of the Anti-Defamation League, just how many more Zionist advocates are now part of the John Birch Society headquarters? Too bad an organization supported by two generations of Americans becomes the tool of a counterfeit champion. Like thousands of loyal Americans, I've promoted the John Birch Society over the years, believing it to be a genuine right-wing movement guided by knowledgeable patriots within the JBS leadership. Opening my copy of the 14th December New American made me wonder about future support. As a special forces commander and intelligence officer, I am trained to recognize and counter enemy subversion. I thought it strange that, as soldiers, we were officially cautioned to avoid involvement with the Birchers. During the 60s and early 70s, I knew of many young officers assigned to infiltrate fringe and militant organizations. The Army Counterintelligence Corps, CIC, saturated campus clubs, penetrated political organizations, intruded into private lives, filtered through church and civic orders, and in general, invaded the American public. Nothing was exempt. CIA program seeds were carefully planted then into front organizations to spur and slant the growth of various viewpoints. The United States Information Agency is an official State Department overt voice for dissemination of propaganda overseas. The CIA employs a wide variety of nonviolent covert means to help undermine various target groups. As Americans, we tend to overlook the fact that as much or even more brainwashing is focused on us. I summarily rejected the suggestion by a CIC colleague in 1971 that the John Birch Society was established as a gray level, white truth, black lie, gray deceptive mix, diversionary front organization to devitalize Americans with strong nationalistic ideals. To me, the John Birch Society provided its membership with dedicated patriotic awareness, education, and direction. People like Ezra Taft Benson, Eisenhower Secretary of Agriculture, had spoken out strongly for the Constitution and against communism at Boston rallies. Hatton's comment. Please remember that which I have given you on the subject of the Mormon Church pulling away from Benson's teachings. This is most important because it began the deterioration of the very foundation of the Church itself in great measure. Still, those over me who knew the magnitude of classified compartmented campaigns advised us to remain insulated from the JBS. Even then, I secretly supported what the rank-and-file Birchers openly advocated, and still do. One day, following a heated discussion over the merits of the John Birch Society, I was told that the JBS was an antithetical model to the Ku Klux Klan. The Cold War KKK had been infiltrated by communist organizers who sought to use its secrecy as a cover to foment un-American activities.
Let me also interrupt again. For you ones who don't know, and there shouldn't be too many that do know, at the very early approach or personal interchange with Commander Greitz, he was quoted as making some very, very pointed and very nasty statements about Duke and the Ku Klux Klan. Seems like all these patriots who want to bash him now seem to have forgotten that. In fact, he was doing pretty well with the old spotlight until he made that statement that he not only could not bear a racist, he wanted absolutely no help, nothing whatsoever from anybody like Duke. And this was a very blatant statement because of the party that he was thinking of becoming known within its ranks. And I was barraged with inquiries. How could this be? Couldn't there be working together, etc.? And my response to Greitz was that how dare he judge anyone? He had no right to judge the man, number one. Number two, he did not know the circumstances. And number three, he basically needed all the help he could get. Why would he alienate ones at least seeking truth and change? And in honor of the man and the quality of the being with which I was communicating, by return facts, I immediately got a response saying he was wrong. He realized that he had no right to judge and that he would be more cautious. So you did have a man, you do have a man, who is big enough to say, I'm wrong. But it does not bespeak a man who is a white supremacist, does it? When he would absolutely denounce loudly to the entire world that he wouldn't have anything to do with the man simply because he was associated with what he perceived to be supremacists. We have to be very careful what we do and who we judge. Go on, please. Also show something else, one more thing. What you send out comes back to get you.
I'll repeat a sentence. The Cold War Ku Klux Klan had been infiltrated by communist organizers who sought to use its secrecy as a cover to foment un-American activities. On the other right hand, the John Birch Society had been retooled toward a more subtle purpose. Like a tar baby, it attracted and regulated the actions and attitudes of ultra-conservatives throughout the nation. I wasn't convinced then, but after reading the Fotheringham article, I must question the true intent of those now at the helm. Why would their headquarters staff allow the New American to promote such a totally inaccurate and scurrilous tale with an obvious Benaiah-Bereuth bias? If Fotheringham is an ADL advocate, I can understand him grinding their axe. But I don't accept the JBS allowing him to use their New American magazine as the grinder. When I returned from Burma in 1987 with video testimony and document evidence that high-level U.S. officials were involved in illegal narcotics trafficking, the New American carried a comprehensive and accurate account. Having been there, I could attest to the author's objectivity. I was also at Ruby Ridge and successfully negotiated a safe resolution to the violent standoff between the Weaver family and federal authorities. Before my arrival, Marshal William Deegan, along with 14-year-old Samuel and his mom, Vicki Weaver, was shot to death. A wounded Randall Weaver, with his three surviving daughters, El Sheba, 2 months, Rachel, 11, and Sarah, 16, accompanied by a grievously injured friend, Kevin Harris, were under siege in their mountaintop clapboard cabin by armored vehicles, armed helicopters, assault police, and a robot nicknamed the Zogobot. Fotheringham refers to the meager 24 by 30 plywood structure as a fortress, the government's position. He says Randall was shot in the arm. Actually, it was his back. The bullet emerged from his right armpit. Even FBI special agent in charge, Gene Glenn, recognized the debacle as a mission run amok. High-altitude aerial photography aircraft spied on the family, and special operations forces were dispatched from Washington, D.C. to conduct a tactical reconnaissance of the Weaver home. There is a big difference between what Fotheringham terms surveillance and the actual preparation for a violent raid. On Friday, 21 August, six U.S. Special Operations Marshals dressed in camouflage and carrying assault rifles prowled the property without proper warrants for arrest or search until uncovered by Sammy's pet golden retriever. The intruders shot the dog and then killed Sammy. Marshal William Deegan fell dead, whether from a wild police round or a bullet fired by Sammy or Kevin is yet to be determined. A federal police task force instantly assembled at the bottom of the hill. An FBI combat assault unit was joined by more U.S. Marshals, officers from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Idaho State Police, and National Guard. The governor issued a proclamation declaring two counties to be in a state of extreme and disaster emergency. A senior Red Cross official on the scene personally told me the police attitude was ruthless. Preparing their weapons for the assault on Saturday, 22nd of August, he heard them remark, quote, "Nobody's going to come off that hill alive. We're going to kill them all." Later that day, after the unpardonable slaughter of Mrs. Weaver and the wounding of Randall and Kevin, they put up a sign proclaiming their headquarters to be Camp Vicky. Don Fotheringham would have the new American reader believe that the Weavers were dupes, dummies, and dopes for Aryan Brotherhood leader Richard Butler, who resides at Hayden Lake, some 60 miles from the Weavers. Fotheringham states, quote, "Richard Butler figures significantly in Weaver's migration from Iowa in 1988. The 74-year-old Butler maintains a compound that, according to an expert at the Spokane Washington newspaper, shelters at any one time about a dozen derelicts and would-be neo-Nazis. The reporter told me that Butler will furnish three hots and a cot to almost anyone who is willing to wear his resurrection cross. Not exactly a threat to national security." The JBS version describes the Weavers as putty in the hands of this old fox whose omnipotent influence somehow nationally controls, orchestrates, and pits radicals and conservatives against the establishment and the destruction of our traditional freedoms and values. The fact is that Zionist and homosexual so-called human dignity groups frequently use Butler's little band out as a cause célèbre for fundraising rallies, media attention, and agitation. I spoke both with Butler, who showed up at the police line one day for a short time, and the Weaver family, including Kevin Harris. Butler denied even knowing Weaver. Randall and Kevin said they were not in any way aligned with Butler. Contrary to Fotheringham, Weaver told me the BATF offered him money to infiltrate Butler's organization. Weaver said that he attended one of Butler's church meetings, Church of Jesus Christ Christian, but found it offensive and refused to work further for the feds. The BATF then set him up for the sawed-off weapons charge that precipitated the eventual shootout. Fotheringham says it was agents of the federal government that entrapped Randall. Sweet words for what were mere informants. Fotheringham forgets to mention that Weaver went down for the arraignment and was released on his own recognizance. Randall is an honorably discharged vet with not so much as a traffic violation against him at that time. Fotheringham's continued reference to anti-Semitism clearly points to his and the John Birch Society headquarters, use of Weaver and the moth-eaten radical butler as stage props for another hackneyed Zionist ploy diverting attention away from the real issue of government abuse. Fotheringham paints the entire episode as a premeditated and coordinated hate-monger effort to lure federal forces into a violent confrontation instead of blatant, inexcusable, and murderous screw-up by the government. During the period before the scheduled court date on the BATF charge, Weaver relates how agents harassed him with offers to make the charges go away if he would agree to work for them. He was promised jail time if he refused. This was the same gimmick used against me by federal agents from 1987 through 1989. By the trial date, Weaver was convinced that there was no chance for a fair trial, and he failed to appear. It was not until 18 months later that the marshals prepared to raid the Weaver home. Fotheringham states that criticism of the large paramilitary police force was not justified. I submit that the entire government operation, which moved people out of their homes, left farm animals untended, unfed, and dead, cost millions of dollars and killed three people, was not justified. The JBS article says that Butler, quote, dispatched a platoon, normally 40 men, of heavily armed skinheads to rescue the Weavers. Truth, six youths with guns were intercepted driving a van toward the encampment. Fotheringham's exaggerations continue as he states that while the marshals weren't right to be on Weaver's property without warrants, it wouldn't have saved any lives if a proper warrant and procedure would have been used, since, quote, who could have served Fotheringham's point? Is he saying it's okay for the feds to ignore the Constitution, since anyone they choose to label an anti-Semite radical can't rationally be dealt with? I had never met nor in any way talked to Weavers or Kevin Harris. I stood before them unarmed without body armor. No shots were fired. No threats were made. The sheriff is paid to issue warrants. Why wasn't normal procedure followed? Why didn't the feds use a bullhorn to announce their presence and establish a siege if Weaver refused to come out? There was no need for bloodshed. Weavers weren't given a choice. Sammy was killed, Vicky was killed, Randall and Kevin were wounded without warning. Before the marshals opened fire, neither Weaver nor Harris had ever in their lives fired a shot at anyone. Randall still has never fired a shot in anger. Fotheringham cast me as a dangerous fanatic agent provocateur whose anti-Semitic, racist, white supremacist fervor wrapped in the vestments of religion make it easy to fan the fires of government-citizen conflict. Where was he when there was fire on the mountain? His use of the New American to besmirch the Weavers and myself to circulate his own disinformation shows complicity and irresponsibility by the JBS editorial staff. Fotheringham asks questions attacking my character, which are easily answered by military and public record, or would have been clarified had he bothered to ask. He obviously knows little or nothing about me or the Weavers. Worse, it appears that neither he nor the JBS headquarters staff care. After reading the article, I immediately telephoned to JBS headquarters. They said Fotheringham would call me. He didn't. You answer the question. Is the JBS a pseudo-patriotic front, or was this glaring bit of yellow journalism just a lesion in their normally unmarred body of truth? After 2 days of waiting, I sent the following facts, abbreviated. JBS headquarters from Bogreitz. Regarding New American, 14 December article, Randy Weaver's role. I've read Don Fotheringham's Weaver-Butler anti-Semite conspiracy article, and I find it to be misleading and poorly researched, with the usual extreme bias normally found in the Washington Post and New York Times. Fotheringham must be Jewish on the JDL payroll, or is trying to make an indelible impression that he is. I haven't seen the Zionist drum beaten so loudly and repetitively in one story since the official use only white supremacist intelligence report prepared for law enforcement by the ADL. If you believe that Fotheringham, what Fotheringham wrote, is good journalism, then it has been my misdirection to have supported and spoken out in favor of the JBS the past several years, when Ezra Taft Benson and Howard Freeman and other patriots that I respect and look up to were butchers. I was even asked 2 years ago by Fotheringham to travel as a speaker for the JBS. I looked forward to fellowship and communication with Americans who sought to be informed about their government through the JBS. Don withdrew the offer because I insisted on my bride coming with me. I went on promoting the JBS to the hundreds of groups that I appeared before as an author and presidential candidate. Fotheringham's reporting was gross. I am extremely disappointed. He not only didn't contact me before writing the article, but posed the climax of his distorted views around my participation at Ruby Creek. My purpose there was to preserve life, which we did. Fotheringham's questions allude that I am part of the white supremacy movement. There is no indication that he even sought my comments before publication, very much like Time and other intellectual prostitutes of the establishment. His portrayal of what happened is both inaccurate and deceptive. His statement about me, the skinheads, and Nazi salutes are disgraceful, and you can be certain that I will seek a personal confrontation with him at the earliest moment. My dad was killed by Nazis during World War II. I have worn the uniform of the United States with honor, valor, and dignity. I sought to serve our nation and brethren well. Ignorant reporters and biased publishers who work for the media are expected to besmirch anyone who threatens their global objectives. When someone of an established, so-called patriot publication takes that liberty, it must be with a peril of responsibility. Citizens expect the Time to crucify patriot reports, but coming from you, it is like a kiss from Judas. Hatton's comment. Oops. Kiss from Judas? A wise choice of words, son? I would think you could do a bit better than that. Further, my scribe about had a heart attack at his father being killed by the Nazis during World War II. What think ye? Did he die and pass recently as given us to believe? Or was he slain in World War II? Do we test God to the point of foolishness, perhaps, or simply not give all the details? Do the discrepancies come back to haunt the tongue? Wherein lies truth? So be it. Quoting again, if you are so wrong about something I know about, what is to say you aren't equally wrong in the other articles you print? Your story was a disservice to Randall Weaver and his family, who have suffered severe abuse at government hands and still must withstand deadly attacks in court. Your writer weaves his insidious bias throughout the story at the expense of good citizens who in the past would have had your support. The article I just read belongs in William Buckley's National Review, not the New American. If Fotheringham's article is an example of how you are now doing business and what you now stand for, then I consider you a parasite on the body of American patriots that we would all be better off without. End of quoting. Norma, take this from the equipment. We have no time to discuss it as we are now late for the meeting. Thank you. I understand your confusion, but it is fine. These are the discernments over which information can often be misleading. Hold the course, and the perturbations will seem less bothersome. Hat on to clear, please.
Thank you. It's hard when you're faced with contradictions, isn't it? And as you move through, you set up your own testings. And they fall right back into your face if you're not very careful. Does Bo Greitz have a stepfather that he's very, very fond of? Could it have been his mother that died? What difference does it make? to you of the human environment, everything. While ones think they're testing me, all you're doing is testing yourself in the eyes of your brothers. I have told you over and over again, if you come to me and you say, I'm Jesus Christ, I'm going to call you Mr. Christ. I represent in service a commander of the Pleiades fleet of the Cosmic Federation. And if you want to tell me lies, you may do so. But guess who's going to get caught in that trap later? And this is where it comes in very, very hard to be a scribe. There's just a little bit of a discrepancy here when a very warm and loving and explanatory letter flows through the fax machine that says, I have been away, I've done this, this, and this, and I just buried my father. And the ones who were able to be privy to that note felt great pain and sorrow. Well, did his father die during this confounded campaign, or did he die at the hands of the Nazis in World War II?
Commander, I remember something that...
Go. Let's hear it.
It may not be on the base. I didn't get it. Yes.
I remember Bo talking about his history at one point, and I don't know if it was in his book or what, but that his father and mother died when he was young, and he was raised by his grandparents. So it could have been.
No,
could it have been his grandfather who died? Does it matter? The facts are, when you set out to deceive in any way, it gets awkward, doesn't it? And if it is a grandfather who dies, why not say, my grandfather, whom I felt close as a father? It's not bright testing, is it? Because all of his work lays about the house before a scribe who hasn't time to read, not even what we write. The last books sit in their boxes, not even having been put on a shelf. She doesn't have time to research. Number one, and number two, what point? Each of you have experiences. You have one father. So in any sense of the word, it was a misstatement. You don't just bury your father. Your father is eternal. And the concept of father is eternal. The point is, it's very, very hard for ones who would like to serve in this human format to have to be caught in the contradictions of expressions. And Dorma would, you know, thrust out at me in anger. Why would you let me believe that? Why would you let me feel so sorry for him? when so far all he's done to me is screw me over and over in my belief system. You should be angry. But does that make him incorrect or wrong or evil? None of the above. It doesn't matter to you whether or not he was testing, mourning a beloved passage of a friend. It's been a hard go. And after you one search for your whole lifetime, regardless of what age you might be, you're going to test and test and test. And sometimes your testing is going to hit you squarely between the eyes. I have to work with that which is presented to me. I have no alternative. You are in your human format, playing your human roles. You have to come into your understanding and relationship with God. And quite frankly, it will help if you can do so also with some commander who is in charge of the program. But the games playing is annoying at best. And you see, if you mislead your brother, you're very apt to get this kind of response from the other publications. Is that good or bad? No, if you can't stand the flak and the heat in that kitchen and hold the target, then you better get out of that kitchen. And you better put your patriotism where your mouth is. There are discrepancies all along the way in Mr. Greitz's stories. For goodness sakes, wouldn't you have a few discrepancies if you have lived a life like that? Wherein the outlay of actual fact would destroy you and more quickly destroy your nation and many, many lives of one surrounding you. Do I make excuse? I don't make anything. I make observation. Well, am I going to answer any of my own questions? No, I'm not.